This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Jack McKenna broadcasting to you from the top of Old Main on the Superior State Teachers Campus, reminding you that your job well done may save somebody's son. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Thursday, February 1st, 1945. Lou Martin is standing by with the news, and we've got our first nationwide brownout scheduled tonight.
Don't be nervous. It'll just be a little darker on the streets tonight.
Nope, not at all nervous about this brownout thing.
I brought a flashlight. I'll walk you to the bus stop.
But I'm not nervous one tiny bit. Our 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Larson Chevrolet. They have some very fine war worker used car specials. Larson Chevrolet, 1414 Ogden Avenue, dial 5575. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. A daring raid on a Japanese prisoner of war camp by Rangers and Filipino guerrillas has rescued 513 Allied prisoners on Luzon. We begin our World Shortwave radio broadcast from General MacArthur's headquarters on Luzon.
This is the Philippines. C.H. McDaniel reporting from Luzon. Men of Bataan and Corregidor were snatched from under the firing muzzles of Japanese guns last night in an exploit of unmatched daring. Some 400 picked men of the 6th Ranger Battalion and Filipino guerrillas made this commando raid 25 miles behind enemy lines. In emptying this prison camp, they fulfilled one of the objectives closest to General Douglas MacArthur's heart. Taking Japanese guards by surprise, the Rangers rescued 486 Americans, 23 British, 3 from the Netherlands, and 1 Norwegian. These were all that were left in a prison camp in eastern Luzon. Under the command of Lieutenant Colonel Henry Mucci of Bridgeport, Connecticut, 121 Rangers stormed the prison stockade with such merciless precision that not one prison guard was left alive or able to resist. They attacked with such care that none of the prisoners were scratched. Within a matter of minutes, all had been released and began the 25-mile journey to freedom. Some walked, others were carried on the backs of Husky Rangers or in carts. 100 of them were so weak from malnutrition, disease, and 3-year-old war wounds that they could not walk. All but 2 of the prisoners of war were brought out alive. Sadly, their enfeebled hearts flickered out when they were within sight of American lines. The rescue cost the lives of 27 Rangers and Filipinos in a guerrilla unit led by Major Robert Lapham of Davenport, Iowa. His unit fought off a savage Japanese tank attack along the escape corridor. The raiders killed 523 Japanese and knocked out 12 tanks. General MacArthur's headquarters was so pleased with the results that he decorated every man who took part. The lean and rugged survivors received the homage of thousands of American soldiers, those soldiers now fighting to redeem the islands these veterans fought so valiantly and hopelessly for in 1942. This was the last of many marches for the rescued men, the first of which was the brutal Bataan Death March 3 years ago. At General MacArthur's headquarters in Luzon, this is C. Yates McDaniel, calling Mac Johnson.
This is Luzon, Mac Johnson here. When I last saw Captain James Pribby of Los Angeles 3 years ago, he was the Tunnel Provost Marshal on Corregidor. When I saw him today, he was hard to recognize. Worn down by captivity, with his rag clothes just hanging on him, Captain Pribby may not be the same man as he was when he was defending Corregidor. But he told me, quoting now, the thrill of seeing green-clad Rangers storm into our prison camp last night will never quite leave me, unquote. Reserve Naval Officer Lieutenant George Green of Auburn, Alabama, was with the last organized resistance in 1942 when he was taken prisoner. Forgetting his arthritis, he not only walked but ran out of the prison camp last night. It was the first time he ran since his capture. Others, like Ward Officer James Schimmel of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, didn't say much, but blinked with pride as he explained he was the senior officer of 19 men of the 4th Marine Regiment. Private Walter Laverne of Sioux City, Iowa, was with the 20th Air Base at Nichols Field. Quoting him, "We sweated out the bombing of Corregidor. We've been through it all the last 3 years. My heart almost broke when I first heard the first burst of fire last night. I thought the Japanese had decided to wipe us out." unquote. Private Thomas Flowers of Scranton, North Carolina, couldn't talk much because he was tearing into his third hamburger. Poor Nelly. After living on rice and grass soup so long, Sergeant Donald Smith of Boulder, Colorado, says he can't get over the newfangled packaged ration. The senior American prisoner of war is Colonel James Duckworth of San Francisco. Colonel Duckworth says after the surrender of Bataan, he was asked to help wounded Japanese soldiers. When they saw him treat Japanese soldiers like he treated his own men, he says they gave him immunity from molestation. The last story is one of invention. Lieutenant W.D. Gibson of Frankfort, Connecticut, and Lieutenant Frank Burgess of San Diego built a one-tube radio made out of scrap. On that set, they were able to pick up news from the outside world, type it out on Japanese stationery, and distributed it secretly throughout the camp. The Japs never found the radio set. On Lausanne, this is Mac Johnson. Now I'll hand the microphone over to correspondent Frank Tremaine.
Thank you, Mac, and good evening, America. The Yank advance on Lausanne continues ahead of schedule. Subic Bay and its naval repair base of Olongapo is back in American hands. Inexplicably, Jap pillboxes there were empty. As the Yank spearhead pushed within 28 miles of Manila, units of the U.S. 7th Fleet have steamed into Subic Bay. This gives the American fleet excellent anchorage, and engineers have already begun rebuilding this naval base. Meanwhile, Lieutenant General Robert Eichelberger's 8th Army moved to secure the area. Eichelberger says the lack of enemy resistance is puzzling. Even so, he is moving units of his army to seal off the Bataan Peninsula and further isolate Manila. Warships at Subic Bay are shelling Bataan. Meanwhile, Japanese radio monitored here report an American naval task force heading to Corregidor, which is at the entrance of Manila Bay. With General MacArthur's headquarters on Lausanne, this is Frank Tremaine calling Europe, come in Belgium.
Hello, this is the Allied Expeditionary Force in Belgium. Max Jordan reporting. Shock troops of the 1st and 9th Divisions penetrated deep into the German Siegfried Line today. In doing this, they erased the last vestige of the bulge driven into the 1st Army front lines before Christmas. The Siegfried Line was strangely silent on a broad front, indicating Nazi forces may have withdrawn farther into Germany. Overnight advances are continuing as village after village falls into Allied hands. The 1st Army captured 1,300 enemy soldiers in one day, largest haul since January 3rd. This may be a commentary on German morale. It was certain that Nazi commander General Karl von Rundstedt is no longer able to hold on to anything west of the Rhine. In Belgium, this is Max Jordan calling the Eastern Front, come in Germany.
This is the Eastern Front, Eddie Gilmore with Soviet Marshal Zhukov's forces in Germany. The Red Army, with their fast-moving tanks, is pushing closer to the outer defenses of Berlin, now just 39 miles from the Nazi capital city. Marshal Zhukov has massed waves of tanks and infantry for a quick smash of Berlin's defenses. But Hitler has ordered his reserves thrown against the Russians along a 40-mile front at the Frankfurt salient. Red Army fleet planes raked the Berlin-Frankfurt highways. Moscow dispatches say Nazi prisoners tell of panic in Berlin. Meanwhile, Zhukov is preparing for a mighty battle along the Oder River, which might break German resistance and let the Red Army flood into Berlin. The Germans are dynamiting bridges and the ice on the Oder to try to stop the Russian advance. On the Eastern Front in Germany, this is Eddie Gilmore.
KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has this message from our sponsor.
Boy, Lou, that POW rescue at Lausanne is amazing.
Maybe more amazing is how these men have hung in there for 3 years with what sounds like hard captivity. My guess is that the little homemade radio in the camp might have helped keep them hanging on.
If I'd known they were listening, I would have said hello and done fewer commercials about food. How about this one, though, about cars? From Larson Chevrolet in Superior, 1414 Ogden Avenue. Used cars are badly needed to carry over farmers and war workers until new cars can be manufactured. And they've got some dandies here, folks. Low-priced, but good transportation. 1937 Chevrolet Deluxe two-door radio, heater, very good rubber, and that's important. 1936 Chevrolet four-door sports sedan, excellent rubber. 1933 Chevrolet sedan, mechanically good with good rubber. All from Larson Chevrolet Company, 1414 Ogden, phone 5575.
Funeral services will be held at Concordia Lutheran Church for Private Harold Burstead. The 20-year-old Superior native died yesterday at Schick Hospital in Clinton, Iowa, following a 7-month illness. Private Burstead entered the Army in February 1943 at the age of 18. He went overseas in March of 1944. He took part in the D-Day invasion of Normandy. The Navy lists of men wounded in action released today had 314 names, including one superior man. Marine Corporal Patrick McGillis was previously listed as wounded a year ago. This is the second time that he has made the list. The War Department list today included Corporal Ralph Newey of Superior. No other details are available. A former Ashland man who took part in the Colonel Jimmy Doolittle's April 1942 raid on Japan may still be alive. Former Northland College basketball star George Barr was promoted today from second to first lieutenant by the War Department, leading to the hope that the 27-year-old Barr is alive. His name was mentioned on a Japanese propaganda newscast as a prisoner. Lieutenant Barr's plane took off from the aircraft carrier Hornet on April 18, 1942, but failed to reach Allied airfields in China. Wisconsin's unofficial casualty toll for World War II is 4,886. The casualty rate has quickly increased with more intense fighting in Europe and the Pacific. From December the 16th, when the Battle of the Bulge began, to yesterday, 615 casualties were reported of Wisconsin men, 568 of them killed. Governor Walter Goodland has plans for the state's budget surplus for the next 2 years. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
The record-breaking budget of $110 million for 1945 to 47 is $15 million more than this year's budget, Lou. Much of that money would go to a building boom of state colleges and the road system. Governor Goodland says this will provide post-war jobs for returning servicemen and bring state buildings up to par. Included in the budget is a nice chunk of money for Superior Teachers College. Superior would get $75,000. That's the smallest amount for any of the state colleges. Milwaukee, for instance, will get $450,000 and Eau Claire $350,000. Lou?
Thanks, Mike. Superior Merchants and Superior Water, Light, and Power Company will join the nation tonight in a national brownout. The War Production Board has ordered all unnecessary lighting be turned off for the rest of the year. This is an effort to conserve electricity needed for the war effort. This includes all marquees, outdoor lighting, ornamental lighting, and show window lighting. Street lights will stay on, Jack.
I don't know, Lou. I think something's up, maybe. We've never had a brownout before. Sounds like some kind of conspiracy.
That could be a conspiracy to save energy. Coal and fuel are in tight demand.
Okay, thanks, Lou Martin, the newsman who would be blonde if he had a redout. Friends, let's check the forecast for this Thursday night, February the 1st, 1945. Partly clear skies with a partly clear. I'll take clear. With rising temperatures tonight. Yesterday's low was -4, but tonight's low should stay above zero. And it's music time. This is Dick Jurgens with Buddy Moreno and A Dozen Roses on the Martin and McKenna Brownout Show.
Thank you. Give me one dozen roses, put my heart in beside them, and send them to the one I love. She'll be glad to receive them, and I know she'll believe them. There's something we've been talking of. There may be orange blossoms later, kind of think that there will. For she's done something to me, and my heart won't keep still. So give me one dozen roses, put my heart in beside them, and send them to the one I love. Blossoms later, kinda think that there will. For she's done something to me, my heart won't keep still. So give me one dozen roses, put my heart in beside them, and send them to the one I love.
Nick Jergens with the Buddy Moreno Orchestra and a dozen roses on station KUWS. Friends, stop by Bugle Brothers for all your grocery needs. They have the finest meats at the best prices at the Bugle Brothers. They have assorted lunch meats for 35 cents a pound. Polish sausage about, 35 cents a pound. And their delicious Lego lamb is 38 cents a pound. Woof. Be sure to try Hogstad's delicious smoked whitefish again. Just 35 cents per pound. Bugle Brothers Grocery at 616 Tower Avenue. Just dial 4473. For your enjoyment, this is Benny Carter and his orchestra with the vocals by Lena Horn. From 1943, this is Honeysuckle Rose on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Jealousy when they see you out with me. I don't blame them, goodness knows you're my honeysuckle rose. When you're passing by, flowers droop and sigh, and I know the reason why. You're much sweeter, goodness knows you're my honeysuckle rose. Don't buy sugar, you just have to touch my cup. You're my sugar. Gee, it's sweet when you stir it up. Oh, when I'm taking sips from your tasty lips, seems the honey fairly drips. Your confession, goodness knows, you're my honeysuckle rose.
Lena Horn singing with Benny Carter and his orchestra, Honeysuckle Rose, was written by Thomas Fats Waller.
Let me introduce Douglas County Draft Board Chairman Joe Raffaele. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I'm here to dispel the wild rumors floating around about tonight's brownout.
You mean rumors that it's a vast conspiracy designed by engineers to gain control over the electrical power grid by limiting the output of the voltage during an otherwise low-power consumption time of the day?
The what? Is McCorkle finally off his noodle?
He still has moments when he's a sane, thinking person. But these episodes seem to be happening more often.
I mean, think of it. You said yourself you heard the rumors.
The rumors I'm talking about weren't wacky. I'm talking about rumors that the brownout means stores will have to be closed or that you can't use the lights in your own home.
Oh, those rumors.
It's my duty to tell everyone that utilities order U-9, issued by the War Production Board, prohibits certain uses of electricity of commercial or industrial lighting. It does not, and I repeat, read my lips on this one, McKierney, it does not curtail any way the use of electricity in your home.
So is McMurtry you or me, Lou?
Well, it might be me. You've been McCorkle for years.
But you've been McMartin.
Pay attention. Now, this isn't a big deal. This brownout will save us some juice, which will save us some fuel, which is in short supply, especially with winter here and the heating and all that other stuff. No need for belly aching. This is just another way to help the war effort.
No conspiracy, then?
Only in your mind.
Thanks, Colonel. I do feel better. On with the music, friends. This is Dick Hames with Helen Forrest, brand new on the 1945 hit parade, something we wish would happen to the Colonel. Here's Long Ago and Far Away on the Martin and McKenna Worry-Free Brownout Show.
Long ago and far away, I dreamed a dream one day, and now that dream is here. But now the clouds have passed, you're here at last. Chills run up and down my spine, Aladdin's lamp is mine. The dream, my dream was not denied.
And now that dream is here beside me. Long the skies were overcast, but now the clouds have passed. You're here at last. Chills run up and down my spine, Aladdin's lamp is mine. The dream I dreamed was not denied me. Just one look and then I knew that all I longed for long ago.
Kames and Helen Forrest in Long Ago and Far Away on station KUWS.
Say, you two, Hey, I brought something for the brownout.
This is KUWS engineer in charge, Joe Gardonio.
I brought brownies. Get it? Brownies. Brownout?
You can't fool me 1 minute, Mr. Engineer in charge of a mass conspiracy of engineers who would gain the most by controlling the very flow of electricity needed to do whatever we need to do.
What on earth?
I'm saying ERP.
It's impolite to ERP on the air.
Well, that joke is so old.
Aren't we all? I mean it. This brownout is fishy, and your group engineers rule the planet. ERP is behind it.
Lou, since when is Jack Brown a conspiracy nut?
It seems someone has to be. You stopped a while ago.
That was about the time. Let's see. Yep, that's about the time I quit drinking.
You expect me to believe this brownout is on the up and up?
Well, first of all, nothing is up. Secondly, ERP doesn't exist. Thirdly, the brownout makes perfect sense.
You expect me to believe that?
We can only hope.
Look, I invented Engineers Rule the Planet 5 years ago. Now, okay, that was a dark time in my life. Mother was particularly domineering. My cat left me. Yeah, and I admit it, I drank too much.
Well then, everything's fine now. Say, how about Major Bong getting married in a couple of weeks? Won't that be something?
That's shocking.
Yes, getting married is shocking, but it happens.
I mean, Joe, shocking.
We engineers are complex people. People have high expectations of us. We live with a great responsibility to keep this modern society operating. Well, it should be of no surprise that we're taken to having darker moods. Maybe if people would only appreciate us more.
You know, the newsreels will all be here on the 10th for Major Bong's big day. There'll be movie tone, Pathé.
I guess I didn't realize the pressures, Joe. It must be hard.
Paramount, Hearst newsreels, they'll all be there.
But except for an occasional beer or accidental taking of Axel's elixir in the fridge, you're a teetotaler.
Well, I kept it hidden. There were times I'd sneak away to the transmitter room and have me a quick cup. I was never without my red thermos.
Concordia Lutheran Church will be full. Dignitaries will fly in from all over the country. What a wedding.
I remember that red thermos. You had hooch in there?
I'm very uncomfortable about all this conversation.
Hooch? Jack, you're the limit. Hooch?
Increasingly uncomfortable.
Not booze? Then what?
Sheesh. What does a good Scandinavian drink for a pick-me-up? Coffee, of course. I drank too much coffee. I became jittery, hyperactive. I wasn't myself. Hooch! Oh, boy!
So you're okay?
Oh, fine, thank you.
Let's enjoy one last number, friends, as we have another happy ending.
To a sordid story, I'm going to dump out the coffee.
Here's a new one by Dinosaur. This is Shoe Fly Pie and Appleton Dowdy on the Martin and McKenna Show.
And Daddy makes the sun come out when heavens are cloudy. Shoe fly pie and apple pan, Daddy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Mama, when you bake, Mama, I don't want cake, Mama, for my sake, go to the oven and make some ever-loving shoe fly pie. And Dottie makes your eyes light up, your tummy say howdy, shoe fly pie and apple pan. And Dottie, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Shoe fly pie. And Dottie makes the sun an apple fan. Daddy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Mama, when you start to bake, I don't want no cake. Mama, mama, for my sake, go to the oven and make some ever-loving shoo-shoo fly pie.
Dinah Shore from the 1945 hit parade and Shoe Fly Pie and Apple Pan Dowdy on station KUWS.
Here, Joe. Here, Lou. Have a brownie. Mother made them. She's better, too. Jack?
Mm. So, Joe, whatever happened to your cat that ran away?
Oh, Rex? Yeah, he came back after a while.
Oh, that's good.
At least that's not sorted.
Well, kind of both. I mean, good and sorted. See, he was pregnant. That's when I found out Rex was Rexina. Go figure.
You had me worried there for a minute that he was pregnant. Hey, guys, let's all take in a movie. I know. There's one place a brownout can't get us.
As long as we don't talk about past personal problems.
He sure gets skittish, don't he?
And we don't talk about cats in certain delicate conditions.
You gotta love them. Laurel and Hardy are at the People's Theater. The music box is playing.
Oh, you gotta love Laurel and Hardy. Say, Ollie, I brought a flashlight for the brownout. Think we'll get into trouble?
As long as you don't shine it in the police officer's face. Coming, Lewis?
Here's another fine mess you've got us into.
We'll be back, folks. Same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing. And Joe stays away from coffee beans. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna, reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Joel Anderson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.